This is me in 2020, crying every day, okay? So I started meditating. If you can sit with yourself in silence, you can sit through anything. Hello, welcome back to my channel. I'm Amber Akilla. This is a space for cute, chaotic, and critical thinking. We are in the business of being hot and having fun. You can follow me on all of the things, Instagram, TikTok, Red Note, subscribe to the YouTube channel, Spotify and SoundCloud for music and mixes and playlists. The podcast is called Friend Crush with Amber Akilla, and these videos will be on there. And also I have like 100 episodes of audio podcasts. And I also have subscriber only voice memo podcasts that are available on Spotify and also on Patreon. I want to build the Patreon a bit more, but I'm not really sure like how I want to do that. So if you have any thoughts, feelings, suggestions, please let me know. This is my new background for today. I've brought Lindsay off the wall. I've brought Ed Sheeran off the ground. My crying pillow is here. Hello Kitty thinking cap is here. Bitch pillow. Okay, how is everyone? I hope everyone's doing well. Today's topic is meditation. So I talk about meditation in my Hot Girl Habits video, and it's my 5-year anniversary of regular meditation practice. I remember doing a meditation practice when I was in school. We did like a mindfulness body scanning meditation, and I always felt drawn to this practice, but I always struggled to be consistent. And I knew that it was good for me on some level, you know, whether you see it from an Eastern spirituality perspective or a Western scientific perspective, meditation is proven to be beneficial to the mind, to the body, to your well-being. But I think especially in like modern contemporary culture, there is this feeling of if I do something, I need an immediate result. Everything needs to be measured. Everything needs to be prescribable, diagnosable. But I think that some of the most radical practices that you can participate in when it comes to your mental health, your spiritual well-being, connecting to yourself, better understanding yourself, these practices don't require you to buy anything as much as they require you to just be disciplined and consistent. And discipline is something that comes from inside of you, not something that is forced onto you. You know, and I want to do another video on how I rewired my understanding of self-discipline in a way that isn't punishing yourself, but learning to create systems and frameworks that allow you to live your best life, actually be present and enjoy your experience rather than feeling like you push yourself too far and then you have to punish yourself and pull it back. It's like a process of checks and balances that come with you on your journey. Basically, if you've been following me for a long time, I started my podcast, I think 2020, so 5 years ago. And I started posting on TikTok maybe 4 years ago, 2021. And at the time, I was going through my Saturn return. It was also the pandemic. I was stuck in my hometown. I'd been living in Shanghai for like 2 years. Went back to Australia to get documentation for my visa to live in China. Pandemic started, couldn't come back, blah, 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 blah. I was still very lucky in my experience, despite how catastrophic it felt to me personally. So this is not like a pity party by any means. I'm just giving you context for what brought me to having to meditate every day. So basically I hit an emotional and spiritual rock bottom. And every day was so painful. And I just got to a point where I was like, okay, this is not cute. Like actually being sad like this is so lame. And I need to take responsibility for my happiness. I can't wait for my circumstances to change in order to feel good about my life or to feel good about myself. And I need to take responsibility for rebuilding my sense of self, rebuilding my mental health. And I'm gonna do whatever it takes, okay? All of these things that I have tried to avoid, regular meditation, regular journaling, regular exercise, being mindful of my diet. At the end of the day, these are all the foundations of healthy life, okay? And general well-being. But capitalism, consumerism, it tries to distract you from these truths and tries to sell you some kind of secret or shortcut. It creates problems and then sells you the solution, when in reality, you have the solution within you. The solution comes from your self-discipline around different practices that ground you and exploring what does and doesn't work for you, adjusting as you go. That's when I started to meditate consistently. I had previously done all different kinds of meditation workshops and I just had never been able to commit to it consistently. Now that it's been 5 years of consistently meditating, like I would say that in a month, I'm probably consistent 25 to 28 days out of 30. If I have a morning yoga class, and I wake up late, I might skip the meditation and just count the yoga class as the meditation. But generally speaking, I'm pretty consistent and it's to the point where I feel weird if I don't do it, you know? And that's something I never thought I would say. I thought it would just be this constant struggle until the end of time for me to try to commit to this practice. But actually, I prioritize it above everything else, above looking at my phone even, okay? No phones in the bedroom. In between going through the pandemic, my Saturn return, moving back to Shanghai in 2022, post lockdown in China, and you know, just like the uncertainty that came with that, because it's not like I came back knowing what I was gonna do. I was just like, I'm coming back and I'm gonna figure it out as I go. The number of challenges that I came across in this process, when I look back on the last like 2, almost 3 years, I'm amazed that I managed to come out of it with my head on straight, you know, with my mental health still relatively intact. As I was going through it, I wasn't really able to think about it that deeply. And only towards the end of last year and the first half of this year have I been really reflecting on all the things that I've been through. It really is like hot girl habits that have kept me sane, because there were so many times where I was pushed to the limit, to like my mental, emotional limit. And I feel like me pre-2020 wouldn't have been able to deal with the psychological warfare that I was undergoing. Everything seems so easy on the surface, you know, because I can make it look good, but inside I'm fighting demons. And what you realize in this process, when you have consistent practices that ground you, is that the world is always going to be fucked up. There's going to be shit happening no matter what. And the only thing that can change is the way that you respond. There is no point at which everything just starts to be easy and you never experience resistance again. Life is going to be full of trials and tribulations, okay? That is how you are able to feel a sense of achievement, by going through a challenge. If everything was so easy, you would eventually start to create chaos in your life just to feel something, because you need to be able to connect to your emotions in order to have an assessment of your experience. If you're just numb to everything, you don't have an ability to assess what you enjoy, what you don't enjoy. Everything is just nothing. Okay, so having these practices is what allows me to recenter in spite of the chaos. The chaos will continue whether I like it or not, but I am able to determine what I do and don't focus on, what is and isn't important to me, what does and doesn't nourish me, what does and doesn't excite me, what is in service of my best interests and what isn't, who has my best interests at heart in the way that they treat me, in the way that they speak to me, and who does not, okay? Because the further you go along in life, the higher the stakes kind of get, the more responsibility you have, the more invested you become in the things that you're working on, in the relationships that you have, at least for me. You know, as I get older, I'm much more intentional with who I want to spend time with, what I want to spend time on, and what I don't want to be around, point blank period. It can seem like none of these things are connected, but they are. It all comes back to your ability to center yourself. Not being self-centered at everybody else's expense, but learning to prioritize yourself. Because at the end of the day, you are the only person that experiences you through you. Everybody else is experiencing you through them. Only you can truly know who you are, what you want to express, how you want to express, who you want to connect with, how you want to connect with them, what you want to experience, how you experience it. This is up to you to decide. And if you don't take time to connect to yourself, who will take time to connect to you? And how will you even know how you are connecting with others? Because they are only going to know you through them. You only know you through you. That might have seemed like a word salad, but I hope you understood what I was saying. And I feel like I realized that there was so much that I was running from in my 20s. And it was so insidious and so subtle, the way that I would justify to myself the choices that I was making, or the mindset that I had, or the behaviors that I participated in. And when I really started to sit with myself, I was able to make an assessment of what patterns and habits were worth holding on to and what were no longer serving me, which voices were mine and which voices I had internalized from my family, my friends, society, social media, whatever, whatever. I think that if you can sit with yourself in silence, you can sit through anything, you know, because then you're able to observe your thoughts and your emotions and you can pick what isn't worth focusing on. It becomes a lot clearer to you what you do and don't need to take responsibility for. Okay, so meditation is also the practice of separating your thoughts from the thinker. Thoughts are going to come up whether you like it or not. Okay, it's not about not thinking, it's about observing your thoughts. You don't control whether you are thinking or not, or what thoughts come up, but you can control which thoughts you focus on. And you can increase the space between the observer and the thing coming towards you. If you don't have a practice like this, everything can feel really impulsive and emotionally charged. There's literally no gap between the trigger and the response, but having this practice allows you to increase the space between the trigger and the way that you respond to it. And a trigger isn't necessarily a negative thing. You can be triggered in a positive way as well. You are always going to experience triggers, okay? That's how you experience the world. You need your emotions to understand and process your experience. That's how you know what you do and you don't like, what is and isn't for you, what does and doesn't make sense. Listen to your body. You don't always have to react and you can choose how you respond. For example, when I was younger, I was really easily triggered by comments about my race. I felt like the space between the trigger and my response was like, it didn't exist, basically. I was just like ready to fight. And then as I got older and I started to better understand myself, I started to accept the responsibility to live and represent myself as a woman of color, as a Chinese woman, as a Chinese Australian woman. Me living the way that I wanted to live authentically in and of itself was representation that I felt I needed from outside of me to like live the way that I wanted to live. Through this process, the space between racial comments, me being triggered, and how I respond started to increase to the point where I don't even really care anymore. You know, I'm just like, whatever, I'm comfortable in who I am. You're not comfortable with people who don't look like you or people that look like me. Not my problem. So the space between the trigger and the response increases, or the connection between these things starts to sever. Doing meditation, observing your thoughts, is how you allow this space to increase, because it's too late when you've already been triggered to try to train yourself to increase that space. Okay, you need to have that preparation, that foundational practice that just makes it almost intuitive or automatic for you to do that. And I think of it like training at the gym or doing any kind of physical activity. Like, I hate the gym, but let's just say that this is the analogy we're going to use. If you are going to the gym regularly, you don't just increase your strength when you're at the gym. The strength that you create from going to the gym starts to positively affect all areas of your life. You are fitter when you walk up the stairs. You are stronger when you're carrying your bags. Your posture improves when you're sitting in a meeting. It's not just that you go to the gym and you're only stronger at the gym. The strength affects your whole body and in every situation where your body is required. And the same thing with meditation. It's like a mental gym. It's a mental exercise. You learning to observe your thoughts for this dedicated time in the day will start to filter into other areas of your life. You will be able to be more present when you're sitting in meetings. You'll be able to emotionally regulate better when you're dealing with a triggering experience or interaction. You are strengthening your mental muscles. Some people, maybe they don't need to practice like this, but if you feel like you're drowning in your own thoughts and your own emotions, or you're spiraling, or you are too easily triggered by things, you just need to radically accept that this is something that you might need to do in order to maintain mental stability. Okay, that's what I did. And now I'm at a point where I notice where other people don't have this practice. They're just going around in circles. And because I've been doing it for 5 years, conversations that I had with someone 2 years ago, I'm now having the exact same conversation with them 2 years later, because they haven't pulled themselves out of the spiral that they exist in. They think that their reality is just determined by the same habits and the same thought patterns, and they don't have anything that allows them to develop a different perspective of how they're thinking, or the ways in which their emotions and their thoughts are like habitually locked in this fixed place. And when you have a meditation practice, you can recognize which habits work in your favor and which habits maybe don't. Towards the end of last year, after being back in Shanghai for two and a half years, I realized that the way that I was living had worked for a certain period of time, and now I needed to make radical adjustments if I wanted to be able to sustain my mental and my physical health moving forward, and to also feel engaged in what I was doing. I didn't want to just do the same thing over and over and over again for the next 2 years. I wanted to appreciate what I had achieved so far and then build on it in an intentional way. And oh my God, it's so hard. But I'm doing my best. I'll give you a review in another year's time to see if I was successful in breaking that loop. But it's about separating the thoughts from the thinker, not eliminating the thinker, not eliminating the thoughts, just being able to observe yourself and what you're thinking, what is and isn't worth attaching to. So my personal meditation practice at the moment is 20 minutes a day as soon as I wake up. I've talked about digital distancing and like managing your relationship with social media. I do not have my phone in my bedroom, okay? My bedroom is for sleeping and reading. I wake up, look at the clock, say it's 9 a.m. I make a mental note, okay, 9:20 is when the meditation is over. Close my eyes, observe my breathing, observe my thoughts. Maybe I have a mantra or a positive affirmation. I just let the thoughts come as they are. Everyone's practice can be different. You can start with 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just do it as consistently as you can. I have free printables on my website for habit tracking. You can just say that you're going to do meditation consistently for 30 days. If you miss one day, either try to make up for it later in the day or make up for it the next day. Don't skip 2 days in a row. And the first time that you do it is going to feel hard. But again, if you can't sit with yourself for 5 minutes, what can you sit through? So I think of meditation as like assessing my mental space, my mental garden, the floor plan of my psyche. Imagine you are doing a renovation on a house and you don't have a floor plan. You don't know whether there's a basement. You don't know whether there's an attic. You don't know how big the rooms are. How can you assess your reality or shape your reality if you don't know the floor plan of your psyche, okay? And your psyche is vast and there are lots of unknown parts that you're not necessarily going to know all of it, but knowing a little bit more is better than not knowing enough. So I think of it as like allowing myself the space for things that I maybe didn't consciously think about to come up. You know, you just never know what you noticed that you didn't clock on a conscious level that might come up while you're doing your meditation practice. And it's not like you even have to decide anything in that process. You just learn to observe, okay? You observe and then you let go. And then another thought comes up and then you let go. And this is just the process, because then in your day-to-day life, this mental exercise carries through and things will come up. People will want something from you. People will request something from you, and you can observe before making a decision. It's not that the decision and the thought happen with little to no space between them. It comes up, you notice, you make an assessment, and then you decide. It's not like trigger, decide, trigger, decide. It's trigger, decide, trigger, decide. I think doing guided meditation or going to meditation workshops can help. The first few times that you do it, if you've never done this practice before, can be really overwhelming. Sitting inside your body and going deeper into your consciousness. I remember I did a workshop where they talk about how you might start crying, you might start farting. You might feel this like bubbling up inside of you because all of these repressed emotions and thoughts that you usually are in the habit of ignoring or trying to push away, you're allowing them space to come up. You're letting the dark come to light. Shadow work, your shadow self, learning to bring darkness to the light is important when it comes to integrating yourself. You can't have a well-rounded understanding of self if you are always pushing things into the dark. It doesn't go away. It just gets further and further out of your awareness. And then it will affect your decision-making and your experience without you knowing. One of the reasons why doing meditation is important for me is because I'm a little bit of a control freak. I don't want other people to have control over who I am and what I'm doing. I'm happy to collaborate, I'm happy to kiki, but I want to feel in control of my experience. I want to feel in control of the narrative that I create around my experience too. I don't want to feel like another person has control over my emotions or how I see myself. Everyone is always going to have something to say, but what I think of myself is going to be more important than what anybody else thinks of me. How I feel about myself is going to be more important than how anyone thinks of me, because I am the only one that's living my experience. Everybody else experiences me through their lens. Therefore, I can separate what is for me and what is for them, or what is not even relevant. There are always going to be these things at odds with each other, fighting for your attention, and you need to learn to sift through all of these things and figure out what's for you. Only you can do that for you. Another thing that I hear when it comes to people talking about meditation, it's like, oh, I can't do it, or it's too hard. I can't not think. It's not about not thinking. It's just about observing your thoughts. There is no such thing as a good or a bad meditation. There is just the practice of doing it. Some days it's going to feel easier than others, but that doesn't mean that it's not worth doing. And I think the entitlement that we have to things being easy or things being frictionless in order to be good for us, it's kind of overrated and like naive. The same way that cleaning is not necessarily going to feel good. You don't always want to clean. Cleaning doesn't always feel easy and enjoyable, but it is better to be in a clean space than in a dirty one. If I could go to bed every night not having to clean the kitchen, what a life that would be. But I make dinner, I make a mess, and then I have to clean up before I go to bed because I'm gonna wake up the next day and I wanna enter a clean kitchen. Highly underrated experience. I don't think there's ever been a time where I've enjoyed cleaning the kitchen, but I do it because I wake up and I look at the kitchen and I make my tea and I feel great because it's clean. If I wake up and the kitchen's dirty, the day's off to a terrible start. So I ensure that I'm doing the difficult thing first to make life for future me easier. And that's how I think about meditation. I'm doing the difficult thing of having to sit with myself for 20 minutes a day so that everything else is easier for me later in the day, okay? It's not easy to sit and just observe your thoughts and feelings. I'd much rather be doom scrolling on my phone and looking at memes, but my ability to enjoy memes is much better as a result of meditation. My ability to engage and be present in my relationships and my experience is better because I did the difficult thing first. Everything else is easy. So committing to the practice is what's important, not whether the practice is enjoyable or not. You know, sometimes you do a hard thing and everything else gets harder. Sometimes you do the easy thing and everything else gets harder. But if you develop an awareness of the practices that you can participate in that might feel difficult at first, but allow everything else to go smoothly, you are going to be a winner. Another thing with meditation is that it's not something that you can measure straight away, okay? Just because you did a 20-minute meditation for the first time ever doesn't mean that everything in your life is going to shift tomorrow. It's not instantaneous. It is extremely, extremely gradual. It's like compounding. Brick by brick, you are better understanding the floor plan of your psyche and developing an awareness of your inner world and learning to connect with it, and also learning what to detach from. And I think that for me, after doing it consistently for maybe weeks or months, I started to feel a lot lighter when it came to how I was engaging with the world, the way that I felt about myself, the way that I felt about certain relationships and my experience. I didn't feel so weighed down by my emotions and the way that I would feel triggered by certain information. I felt a lot lighter and I didn't feel as triggered by a lot of things. It's not to say you're not going to experience difficulty, you're not going to experience difficult emotions, but you can start to let go of thought patterns and emotional loops that might have been holding you back in ways that you were not previously conscious of. You can start to let go of bitterness and insecurity that you have around certain things and give yourself space to be bitter about something new. Give yourself the space to experience a new problem, a new challenge, because that's how you know you're growing, okay? If you are constantly stuck in the same emotional and mental loop about the same thing over and over and over again, how will you ever free up emotional and energetic space to grow out of that and into something new? You need a new challenge. You need a new trauma. You need a new trigger. That's how I think about moving with meditation. If you have 20 minutes to watch one of my YouTube videos, you have 20 minutes to do a meditation every morning. And you realize when you don't wake up and start scrolling through your phone, there is space between you and the outside world. You, your inner world exists here, and then the outside world is out there. And nothing is ever really as urgent as it seems when you learn to observe the thoughts and the thinker. Your experience of time starts to shift as well when you're not thrown around by your emotions and your emotional triggers, okay? The trigger comes up and then you're like, okay, I'm gonna give myself time to respond to this rather than feeling like I have to immediately jump to the defense of my ego, you know? So you also can develop an awareness of the part of you that's your ego, that's always writing stories about who you are and how you're perceived, your persona, the way that you're showing up to the outside world, and the self. Who are you in connection to or disconnected to these things? Because you can't necessarily control how other people see you. But if you are living authentically and choosing with intention how you live, it's not going to matter what other people think, okay? The only thing that's going to matter is the people that matter to you, how you want to nurture those relationships, the experiences that matter to you, how you want to be present in those experiences, how you want to shape those experiences, not everybody else yapping about how they think you are through them. How do you think you are through you? So remember, you're observing your thoughts. You're not stopping the thinking. That's like trying to stop breathing. Breathing is like a subconscious function. Your body knows to breathe, whether you tell it to or not. You will always be thinking, whether you tell yourself to or not. So the gate into your subconscious is observing your breath and observing your thoughts. This is something that I have been thinking about a lot over the last year. Going deeper into your consciousness rather than just living on the waves at the surface will allow you to feel more connected to yourself and your experience. And eventually you do this consistently enough that you start to feel uncomfortable not doing it. You know, you can have habits that you feel uncomfortable not doing that are actually destructive. For example, you get the urge or the impulse to smoke or to drink. These are habits that not doing make you feel uncomfortable. That's why you do it. But those habits might not actually be good for you in the long term. They can be self-destructive. But you can develop positive habits like regular meditation, journaling, exercising, that when you don't do them, you feel uncomfortable because you know you need to do it to maintain like a new baseline. It's not measurable necessarily the benefit or how quickly the benefit will come with meditation, but you'll do it consistently enough, you'll feel like the ghost of your former self, you'll experience a trigger that used to really get you going quickly, and you'll just feel indifferent to it, you know, and then you'll realize you've made progress. Then you'll realize that your baseline has shifted and that your point of view has shifted, the way that you process your reality has shifted. Slay for you. And that's what I want for you. It's not about being more like me. It's about being more yourself. And when you learn to observe your thoughts, the awareness gives you the privilege of being able to be intentional with what you do and don't engage in. Because you can have thoughts that are self-destructive and you can have thoughts that are self-affirming and empowering. And when you develop an awareness of what the thoughts are that are just coming up, you can be intentional about what seeds and what thoughts you start to plant. So you notice negative thought loops that create insecurities, then you can start to rewrite the narrative and plant positive affirmations, self-empowering thoughts, which then create empowered feeling. And I will save that for the next video about journaling. Meditation, 10 minutes, 20 minutes a day, just to start off with. Be as consistent as you can. It's not about being perfect, but allowing space for you to grow and evolve, to choose with intention what you do and don't engage in mentally and then physically. So yeah, I hope this video was helpful. Meditation is not something that needs to be gatekept or only available to people who feel spiritual or not spiritual. It is a practice that you have with yourself. And it's not about having a good or a bad meditation. It's just about being consistent. And yeah, I hope that this video was helpful. Follow me on Instagram, subscribe to the YouTube and the podcast, and drink lots of water. Tell your friends and family you love them. Go be a better person. Freedom is being in charge of your own destruction. Go bust your way through life. This is me in 2020, crying every day, okay? So I started meditating. so this wouldn't be me for the rest of eternity. Don't let the haters stop you from doing your thing. Love you lots. I'll speak to you soon. Love you. Bye.